Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
For some reason, I was having technical difficulties, so my good morning to Project Joy didn't come across at all.
Well, good morning, everyone, in that case, yes?
Exactly, and welcome.
Or good afternoon, or good evening.
Or good night.
Or good night, as the case may be.
All right, our assignment from yesterday. One who wishes to secure the good of others has already secured one's own. This is one of those lovely Zen paradoxes that a dualistically conditioned mind cannot wrap around. How can wanting for you what I want for me get me what I want for me? Magic. The magic is, it's not what, it's how. How we are, not what we get, gives us what we want. In endeavoring to secure the good of others, we're securing good for ourselves. Because with our attention on the good we desire for others, we have that good for ourselves. Today, let yourself recognize and receive the good you wish for others. Record and listen.
Isn't that good? I can't wait. I can't wait
yes.
to find out what people experience.
All right. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Rick from Salt Lake.
Hey, Rick.
Well,
how are you doing?
I'm good. It's interesting to put myself in the queue. This is the first time I've ever done it. And I did notice that it's like its own mini workshop. As soon as you do it,
yes.
you get a little workshop.
Yes. You get to see a ton, don't you?
You do.
Yeah. Well, good on you. Thank you for being courageous and modeling what's possible for us when we don't listen to the voices in the head and just go ahead and follow the heart.
Exactly. Well, I think that's what practice is yielding for me, is I'm just finding out more and more that those what look like solid brick walls are just things you can walk through.
It really is magic, isn't it?
And the funny thing is I know when conditioning is running out of excuses, is because the last one it uses is, if you'd only caught on to this years ago, think how much better your life would have been.
We just have to laugh at it and say, but I've caught on now.
Yeah, I've caught on now, yes. And now is a good time.
And now is always a good time. Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of presence, with what practice yields, I had an interesting insight that, what had happened is over the weekend I had some plans to get together with some friends that fell through. And when they did, I noticed I got angry. And I guess that's just one of those emotions that conditioning loves to make hay out of, because I don't go there very often. It seems like it's easier just to numb myself out. But in this case, I thought, well, let's make a workshop out of this one, because I was noticing that ego was sprouting about four heads on this one, and each with a different piece of advice on what I should do. And I thought, I have been down this road so many. Yeah, all bad. I have been down this road so many times, and it's never ended well. And in that moment of presence, it occurred to me to just simply pull up a chair and see how self-hate is going to use this. What's it going to do? And I just watched it. And I think this was one of the first times in that state of anger I just simply watched it with the intention of finding out what self-hate was going to do with it. And it's interesting that it sort of turned tail and run, because it wasn't that long before I was feeling quite light and quite free and quite confident that I didn't have to be pulled down a place of suffering.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So my teacher used to say, nothing can bear up under scrutiny.
Yes.
And you proved the truth of that. So this thing that seems just larger than life, certainly larger than your life, you just sit down and watch it, and it just dissolves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to underline that is always the case. It will do that with anything, no matter what the story is behind it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, after something like that happens, there's sort of a renewed confidence that, oh, I can move through life with a little more spring in my step. A little more bounce. I'm not tethered the way it seemed like I was.
Yes. Yeah. And what happens with that, I project, is that we get it, that life is on our side.
Yeah. So
the only thing telling those stories, the only thing trying to scare us and keep us in bondage is ego. And it has its reasons for that. But we don't need to go along with them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's why it was important for me to make this call, because, you know, I'm listening regularly, but this is my first time to put myself in the queue, because I wanted to challenge myself on that one and find out if I still had 10 fingers and 10 toes at the other end of it.
Right. Right. Well, and the thing that I so much appreciate, Rick, is that you hearten everybody who hasn't yet gotten to the point of, okay, I'm gonna put myself in the queue, or I'm gonna speak out, or I'm gonna just sit down and watch. It gives everybody strength to take whatever is the next step on the journey. So deep gusho from that effort.
And deep gusho to you. Thank you to both of you.
All right.
Thanks, Rick.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye.
Well, and that's such a perfect demonstration of the exercise. It's not what but how. It's the magic.
Uh-huh.
Because to approach uh-huh. anger from the place of, let me see what self-hate is going to do, is the how that transforms the experience. And to me,
yes.
what you just said, right, Cherry, putting ourselves in the queue, doing going up against the voices in that orientation of what's good for all, what's compassionate for all, is really securing the good of others. Right?
Yes. Yes,
because
it takes us to that old... It takes us to that old favorite of, we will do for the love of others what we wouldn't be willing to do for ourselves.
And therefore we have the love we've always wanted, because we're doing it from love.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, and it's so, let's see, it's so manageable, you know?
Yes.
It's not like there are 10,000 threads that we need to follow here. Just sit down and watch what it's trying to do to you, and you'll see it all. And the next step will be provided, and that next step will be love, and you can take that step in love, and here we are.
Yeah, truly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shall we hear from our next caller?
Oh, yes, please.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna calling from Seattle.
Well, hello, Anna.
Hi. Hi.
What are you seeing?
My recorder is empty. Okay. I was going to record it just in this moment. I just wanted to check in about what I called about last time, just the, like how energy affects me from, in quotes, other people. And, what I saw is that happens first. I mean, that I feel some kind of energy, and then what gets put on top of it is that I don't want to feel it and fear about it, that.
So, Anna, just to stop you right here for just a second and connect the dots, you've basically been practicing exactly what Rick described, right? There's this place of suffering, and you've just been watching it.
Yeah. And let's see how to connect it to the quote. Basically the fear comes up. I just don't want to feel the energy. I mean, I want to just maybe feel it for a second, but then I don't want to get stuck in it.
Well, now who doesn't want to get stuck in it, right? We can guess that would be ego. Because if you took all the labels off of everything and just labeled them all goodness or labeled them all love, so there's an energy. Now, ego would say, oh, well, that's a dangerous, scary energy. That person is blah, 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 blah. But no, that's not true. All energy, if we're going to have a synonym for it that we can relate to, it's love. It's actually unconditional love, but it's love. So there's an energy of love, and you feel that energy, and what the feeling is in you is love, and what comes up after that is a whoosh of big love, okay? And then you proceed with life in love. Now that's if you didn't do the, oh, there's an energy, oh, that's scary, oh, I'm afraid of that, oh, I can't be with that, oh, well, what I need to do is, so right at that juncture where there's an awareness of the sensations that are happening, we have the choice of going with ego's story, labels and story, that's always going to lead to suffering, or we could say, oh, well, this is goodness manifesting. This is my best opportunity to be here and choose unconditional love and embrace everything that doesn't recognize itself as the unconditional, embrace that back into the unconditional. Yay, lucky me. Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how much time it has been. But can I just say one other thing?
Please.
Maybe kind of a karmic storm or whatever, we call it in practice, on the weekend, just about my ex-boyfriend, and I keep going back, and every time, what happens to me is just really, really bad. I become this extremely horrible person, like a perpetrator or something, every time. And
okay.
I think what maybe, just really quick, what I think what the message is for me to really not go there anymore and to be with myself instead of not be able to be by myself. I keep going back for the hope of intimacy or connection, and it's really bad. So
Anna, it all ties together. First of all, we'll call it do the Rick, right? So the next time that comes up, you're going to just sit there and watch what self-hate does to you. Not trying to get away from it, not because you're sitting there. Unless a plane falls on you, you're going to be fine. Right? You're just going to sit there and watch what self-hate does to you. Now, to me, the really exciting part of this is you want intimacy and connection. Yes?
Yeah.
What you've got now is intimacy and connection with self-hate.
Yes.
And what you're looking for is first, intimacy and connection with you.
Yeah.
And from there, we have a chance at intimacy and connection with others.
Yeah.
So all the message is there for you, right? What your heart wants is intimacy and connection. Ego, self-hate takes that and says, oh, well, you need this guy. And it turns out that this guy is one of the people on the planet who, for whatever reason, does not give you that. Perfect for ego. Perfect.
Yes.
Right? There's just endless suffering over that.
No.
So let him off the hook. and the next time it starts in, just sit there and watch. I love that phrasing. Watch what self-hate does to you. And realize in that, sitting still with you, as you choose you instead of self-hate, we could say you're choosing goodness instead of self-hate. We want to get back to the quote. In that, you are developing, you're finding, you're nurturing the intimacy and connection that you long for. Then, when you invite others into your life, you're not giving away the intimacy and connection you have with you, turning it over to ego to try to trade that to get something that ego wants you to go after, because that's the road to suffering.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Now, here's the good news, Donna. This is all being recorded. So you can listen to this as often as you want, okay? Get the program down. First this, then this, then this, then this. Yeah?
Oh, great. Thank you
all
so
much. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Donna.
I love the way the quote keeps showing up, the assignment keeps showing up, because it's sort of the assignment in the reverse, right? That if it's always how, and the how is to get back to life, and from there, we do have intimacy, love, and connection. And in having that intimacy, love, and connection, receiving it from life, we can offer it to everyone else. It is securing the goodness of others in the reverse.
Yes.
By not allowing us to be sacrificed to self-hate.
Yeah. That was a brilliant connection. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly so. And that's why, of course, ego and an egocentric society, which we've all been conditioned in, says it's selfish to focus on you. But when we break it down the way you just broke it down, the least selfish thing that we're ever going to be involved in is taking care of ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It is the most selfish thing to take care of the ego. No wonder
it really is.
For it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's awful. And in fact, we could go so far as to say every hideous thing that we witness in the world is the result of someone choosing ego over the unconditional.
Yes, that's
and
quite
we don't true. Have to we don't have to wonder how that happens, right?
No.
We don't have to look out there and see somebody doing it, right? I'm doing it.
Yeah,
you're doing
exactly.
it. Everybody's doing it. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Here is our next caller.
Okay.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Judy.
Hello, Judy.
Howdy.
What do you see about goodness?
I see that I fell into a little black hole about it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What happened?
It's a little one.
You must have
it's a little one,
on
though.
Retreat or something.
yesterday, I was in a place that had a few homeless people. And so I heard a story about, well, wishing goodness for them isn't going to get them very far. Just wishing goodness or wanting goodness for them.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that.
Mm-hmm. which sounds so reasonable and rational and logical and true when we consult the voices of conditioning, right?
Yeah.
And you could get almost everybody on the planet to agree with you.
Right.
Now, it doesn't inspire us to do anything, but
yeah.
we just agree that wishing for goodness for people is certainly not going to do any good. So let's add that to the list of things I'm not going to do.
I see. To not even wish for goodness. For the, okay. Interesting. Wow.
Well, you know, Judy, to carry that a little bit on, there's research in those places of logical, rational inquiry that show that prayer, and we could say wishing goodness for people, actually affects them. So people who are, you know, in hospitals and that sort of thing, they do these studies of the ones who have a circle of people around praying and wishing them well and that sort of thing, being in positive energy with them, putting them in white lights or whatever people are doing, those people tend to fare better than people without all of that. So we don't know that wishing people well or hoping for good for them has no effect. We don't know that. And beyond that, we don't know what that wish might open up for us. So what if the next thing that drops in is something that I might actually engage in for someone? No wonder ego wants to shut us down, right? Good Lord, you could get involved. You could wind up participating. You could, heaven forbid.
Wow. Neat. Yeah, I get those opportunities a lot, get confronted by those practice opportunities a lot. So
Yeah. And so it's not actually a knee-jerk go to conditioning for what should I do. Right? It's not that. But just staying there in that the very famous may all beings be happy, may all beings find peace. You know, that's been around a lot of the world for a very long time. And so perhaps turning our attention there and staying in that perspective, you know, gives life the opportunity to offer us, again, a next step.
Offer the next step. Okay.
Yeah.
Instead of being shut down by it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The ego reaching its conclusion, telling you what the conclusion is, and then, of course, you know, the ideal is if you just wind up feeling bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's nothing you can do. It's hopeless. And what kind of a person are you anyway? And so, you know, you just try to take a different route to work so you don't have to look at these people because it's just too distressing.
Right. Can't tolerate it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sensitive. Right? That's the next piece that we're given. You know, I'm just too sensitive. It's just too upsetting to me to see people in this state, so I just need not to look at them. Yeah. The smallest thing offers us so much when we're present, doesn't it?
It does. Good
grief.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. The workshops are just nonstop.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Sherry. Judy. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Judy. Oh, I absolutely love that conversation. In that line that you just said, right, Sherry, which is, we have no idea what it actually does and what it can do for us. And so to make it about me, to make it about the ego, in terms of, well, that doesn't work, so why should I do it, is that shutdown to how to secure good. Forget the program.
Yeah.
to be in goodness, to be in the process of what's best for all. Wow. Without knowing how that act is actualized, right? That's the how, that's the magic that the assignment is pointing us to. Always be in what's good for all.
Mm-hmm. Which is another way of saying here.
Yes.
Which takes us back to the attitude of mind that would sit down to watch what self-hate does. That's what we're walking around in all the time. So I practice being here. I see what ego comes at me with. Ah, okay. Got it. We don't need to do that because I was here and I saw it come in. Therefore, I can say, thanks. I'm staying here.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks for that offer of suffering. I'm staying here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So next caller, you're now live on the set. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller.
Hello? Oh, I was muted. hey, this is Lori. Now I'm not muted. Calling from Asheville.
Hey, Lori.
Hi. You know, I'm so aware of living with this invitation and then listening to people talking about it, of how much there's no separation. It keeps telling me that whatever is going on here is what's going on there. And if I have good wishes for another person, I'm not separate from that at all. And it's just so beautiful to keep returning to that again and again. And the focus of attention doesn't matter really where it goes. I mean, if I'm doing well wishes, if I'm getting meta for myself, that's fine. And it's also the same thing when I'm doing something for somebody else. And I'm just so grateful for that because it does absolutely change what my experience in my heart is when I'm thinking positively of another, of anything.
Yes. Well, that old thing that, you know, becomes so familiar to us that we can forget. What we're actually saying is that the quality of our lives is determined by the focus of our attention. I mean, that is one of the truest statements ever made. And we can prove it to ourselves over and over and over. Right? Because there you are. You sit down and you're sitting in gratitude and a wish of goodness for all beings. And you get up from that after whatever period of time, and you're lit up. And it doesn't matter where you were when you started, right?
No.
You practice turning your attention to goodness, and you're going to be lit up. Now, conditioning is out there saying to people, well, you know, that doesn't work for you. Well, that takes me back to the fellow who taught his children, just say thank you until you mean it. So I have to learn to direct my attention so that I can keep my attention where I want it to be. Right? That's what we're practicing.
I was just this morning, I was leading or facilitating a group in my practice, and we were talking exactly about this, and this is people who are not in Buddhist practice, but they really get it, you know, because we would well, so if you're focusing on what's wrong, let's take that for an example, and everybody can, of course, go, what's wrong, or what's not fair, and then where does it go? And they all streamed out, suffering! So it's like, oh, I know, that's it. So then what else can you do? And then they were saying, oh, well, I could be grateful, I can find what I really, I can look out the window, you know, just all the practicing that we do. And it's just so practical. The practice is so practical. And
it is so practical. And from here, I can be guided. I can be guided by life instead of by ego.
Yeah.
So after I'm here and I'm lit up, life taps me on the shoulder and says, well, Here's a way to participate. Here's a way to take that goodness into action. Okay.
I know.
You can just walk down the street and smile at everybody and ask them how they are, right? Okay, let's start there.
I just have to.
I don't have
to. The clerk at the grocery store said to me, so what are you looking forward to today? I was like, wow, that's a great question. I said, being alive. but just for her to, you know, to have that, it was really a sweet invitation. I asked her, how about you? And it just reminded me so much of practice. You know, what are we focusing on? What's going well?
Yes.
Where can I turn my attention? So, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that is such a wonderful example for all of us, because this is a clerk in a grocery store. We probably run into a few of those who don't seem to be in love with their job, right? They stand on their feet all day long. They're dealing with people who mostly ignore them and are often rude, right? And here's somebody who is going to bring to that situation light.
Yeah.
And she's going to share that light.
Yeah. Isn't that the greatest? That's what
we're
talking about. That's what we could do.
Yeah.
All
the time.
Yeah.
Yes, a bodhisattva.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are the bodhisattvas of the world, aren't we all? Well, thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Swinney. Thank you, everybody, so much.
Thanks, Lori.
Thanks, Lori.
Go very happy.
Go happy.
Go very happy. Yeah.
It reminds me of that conversation with Pasha yesterday, that when we get here, it's a one-second Lightroom experience, and our job is to stay here. Because it's from there
yes.
that life can
operate. Yes. Second by second by second, we're here. Our lives are transformed. Our lives are transformed. The entire world is transformed.
Yes. It allows us to ask that question of, wow, I'm looking forward to this day because I'm alive. And that's such a reminder to people not to move to those places which are dark. I mean, what a great service just to remind people the miracle of being alive.
Yeah.
And that we enjoy it, and that people permission to enjoy it too, for a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, to be alive. It back to what we were talking about with Anna, right? We are aware of one another. And so if people are aware of our energy, then let's make it light. And let's take responsibility for learning to keep our attention where it needs to be for our lives to be transformed so that we can be a part of that gift of mirroring the goodness that's life for everybody who's looking for it.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. Well, that brings us to the end of another fabulous Project Joy radio show, Sherry, and here's our assignment for the day.
All right.
Not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. Mm-hmm. Without karma, there would be no recognizable path for us to follow. A conditioned mind won't reviewing the past, reminding us of mistakes to avoid ahead and predicting the future, we would realize we have no idea where we're going. We never know where we're going. But the condensation conditioned mind makes us believe we have an idea, or worse, that we do know. Karma is the illusion of knowing what cannot be known. That same information would tell us that without the voices in the head guiding us, we'd be without any direction. Not true. Without the condensation in conditioned mind, it would be clear that we're going where we've always been going, where life is taking us. Today, consider how perfectly your life has unfolded in spite of ego's incessant insistence on something wrong, not enough. Record and listen. Okay,
all right.
My favorite assignment of all time. For now.
Well, you know, as my teacher used to say, my favorite flower is the one I'm standing in front of. And I find that with these assignments, you know, every one is my favorite. So I'm glad that we get to have, I'm glad that I get to have my favorite every day. Because, you know, that's fun.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy. Treasure yourselves.
Bye-bye and take care.